So today, I'm continuing my series on Jesus. I'll probably be preaching this for the rest of my life, because every time there's always a different aspect of him to talk about. So, but today I'm going to talk about Jesus as healer. Just for those of you who aren't familiar, I did start this series. This is actually part 7, but I did part 1 was Jesus as God, then Jesus as King, Jesus as Shepherd, Jesus as Seeker, Jesus as Provider. Last week I did Jesus as Protector and Defender. And you can find those on the website, all of them except for which recorded in the name of Jesus anyway. So we're going to talk about Jesus as healer. And I always kind of have a struggle teaching on this because I feel like we've kind of been overtaught in the body of Christ on healing. And I think we have a lot of intellectual knowledge, but I think we need a deeper revelation. And this is one of the reasons why I'm preaching on Jesus, because I think that it's wonderful, like I've told many of you've heard, we have a lot of doctrine and understanding, and all those things are good, but I want Jesus to get bigger in my life. I want him to get bigger in my life because he is everything. And I mean, all that other stuff is wonderful and it's important for us to know, but Jesus just has to get really, really big. And if he's really, really big, then we're really, really small and he can take care of it all. You know? And he has taken care of it all. So I just really want us to be, I just really feel we're in a season of just letting Jesus get bigger and bigger and spending time in the secret place, spending time worshiping and just focusing on him and let him, like I said, become a greater part of our awareness throughout the day. And so it's all these different aspects of him. But I feel like when it comes to healing, we've had a lot of teaching on it and we have a lot of understanding, but people end up walking around feeling condemned if they're not healed. That we're focusing on, well, what's wrong with us? And we take the focus off of Jesus and put it back on us again if we're not seeing things come. And that's never a good place. It's never a good place. And so so that's why I really felt like this is what I was supposed to teach about today. So I just want to start off with thinking about just in the world, sickness and health is so much a part of our mentality. Like illness is a huge stronghold in our lives. We think in terms of sickness, you know, from the time you're a little baby, you're being immunized against sickness. And not that that's bad. I'm just saying that our whole life is kind of geared towards sickness is just a part of life. You have to die of something. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It sure doesn't. It says Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. It doesn't say you have to die of sickness. That's not a part. And so, you know, if you look at, I was thinking about it, I probably could research this, but how much money is spent on illness, on wellness, on healthy food, on supplements, on medication, on all kinds of health care that we have? I mean, that industry alone is huge, I'm sure. And how much of our focus is on it? You know, I don't watch television, but it's amazing. Like if I'm with people who are watching television, after a while, when you see the commercials, you begin to think, well, I probably should have something. Like you begin to think, well, I mean, I'm sure I should be taking one of those, right? I mean, because it's just like parading in front of you all the time that there's some kind of sickness and you need some kind of pill for it, right? So I don't think we realize how baptized we are in thinking in terms of disease and sickness. But I can assure you, when God created man, he didn't put man together. I mean, we believe that God blew into dirt and a man came up, right? I mean, he's got a man with veins and muscles and bones and eyes. I mean, if we really believe that, then he should really know how to maintain this body. Like, science isn't the one figuring things out. They're just figuring out a minuscule amount of how God created the body, right? That, I mean, I'm sure what they know is like a little nit. But if we believe that God blew into dirt and he brought man out of that, how can we think the same God who did that created cancer to destroy the body? I mean, this doesn't make sense. You know, he would not create sickness and disease. He created man to walk in health. If as a fallen creation we can cut ourselves and the body will heal up, right? And we're fallen, we're not the fullness of what we're supposed to be, then how much more when we were the fullness of what we were supposed to be, was the body completely healthy? It was designed to live forever. So much so that after the fall, which is when disease and sickness came in, that Adam still lived to be what, 900 and something years old? I mean, he was still, disease hadn't taken over enough that he was living, people lived long. Because the disease and curse and all that other stuff hadn't taken over yet. And that's, people always say, well, how come they had intermarriage back then? I believe the genes were so pure at that point, right? Because Adam and Eve, right, their children had to procreate, right? And I believe their genes were so pure that procreation wasn't an issue. But as fallen man got a hold of things and man fell and fell and fell, then intermarrying with your brother or sister or your cousin or whatever became an issue, because now weaknesses are getting multiplied. And that's why God said you shouldn't be, mating with family, right? But it's because the gene pool had been so compromised now that all of a sudden you need to be mating outside of your gene pool to keep people healthy. And so, but we need to understand that God designed mankind to be completely healthy. He said, you know, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or else if you eat of it, you will surely die. And what that means is dying, you will die. In other words, man didn't physically die, right? Adam didn't fall over, but he spiritually died. So what happened was the presence of God that man was carrying left, and all of a sudden, man is spiritually dead. And that's when disease came in. That's when sickness came in. And so it was never, ever, ever God's design. Right? So the other thing I wanted to say is that if you look at science and you look at all the ologies, like psychology, sociology, you know, all the different sciences, you know, medicine, all of that we have in this world is the study of a fallen creation. Right? Medicine is studying a fallen body. And so they can say what it's worth, but it's not as God designed it. Psychology is the study of man, but it was with a fallen nature, right? So we need to understand that as much as science can tell us, it's still studying the fallen creation, not the creation as God designed it. So we have to go to the Word of God to find out how we were designed to be, what we were created to be. So even if we look at Ezekiel, we don't have to go there, but Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul who sins shall die. So what happens is sin comes in, and as a result of sin, that's why mankind's sickness and disease came in. But we see, if we look in the Bible, over and over again, even in the Old Testament, God healed people, right? He healed Abimelech the Israelites came out of Egypt. They traveled across the wilderness, and God kept them healthy. He supported them with manna. Their clothes didn't even wear out. Hello. Figure that out, right? I mean, you grow up, and you're 40 years, and you still have the same clothes. It's amazing. It grew with them. So Psalm 103, verse 2 through 3, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." So God, throughout the Old Testament, he talked to the Israelites and told them that sin was connected with disease. And he told them, he's not a bad God, he's a good God. He's telling them, listen, here's the commandments, here's the law, live a righteous life, right? Follow me, keep your heart after me, pursue me, and one of the benefits of that is that you will be healthy, because he knows that sin, in the Old Testament, sin would bring disease. And this is why, I mean, they had the law, and this is why it was so difficult when people in the Old Testament would get sick, much like some of our legalistic healing ministries there are, because people would feel condemned, because if you were sick, it meant that you had sin in your life. Like leprosy, not only was leprosy physically terrible for people, but it was saying that they became unclean. They became outcasts of their society. They had to live in leper colonies, right? So there was a big association with the Jews between your health and your illness and whether or not you were a sinner. I mean, in the Bible, the disciples asked the Lord when that one young man was deaf or blind, and he said, well, who sinned, his parents or him? So they had a very strong association in the Old Testament between sin and sickness. And so people, I mean, can you imagine that? Like you get sick with something and everyone's like looking at, well, what sin did you commit? And we see that in the New Testament now. And that is not the covenant that we're under anymore, right? But that's the way, that's the mindset that people have and the way the people would do. So in Exodus 15:26, you don't have to go there, but God says to the Israelites, I am the Lord that heals you. And so one of his names is Jehovah. I am the Lord who heals you. And he says, if you follow after me, you pursue me, I will protect you. I will keep you healthy. And so that's what the Israelites would do. And so God made it clear that he was their healer. But they also talked about, let's go to Isaiah 53. And I know all of you know this. Isaiah 53. So they understood the law. They understood that they were supposed to live a righteous life. And that one of the benefits of living a righteous life would be that they would be healthy. But there was also, when it was prophesied about the fact that there was a Messiah coming, right? In Isaiah 53, we can start in verse 4, when it's talking about the Messiah, which we knew to be Jesus, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, that word griefs means sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, which means pains, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. In other words, we looked on him and thought God was punishing him for something. But it goes on to say, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus is one of the things is the Messiah was going to come, and one of the things the Messiah was going to do was going to pay for all of the sin of mankind, and he was going to take all, which is the cause of sickness and disease, and he was going to take on him as well the punishment for that, right? And so that's what Isaiah prophesied. So that's what the Messiah was going to be doing. So sickness, obviously, is not a part of God's plan. If God's planning, if we look from an Old Testament standpoint, if God's planning on bringing a Messiah someday who will take the punishment for sin and sicknesses on him, well, then obviously, sickness is not a part of God's plan. Or he wouldn't be prophesying that, right? So we have Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus, Lord's Prayer, we all know the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So part of what Jesus is teaching is that, you know what, that he wants to see on earth as it is in heaven, right? Well, how much sickness is there in heaven? The reports I've heard is there aren't any. I haven't heard, and anybody who's spied out the land has not said there's any sickness there, right? Right? So in heaven, there is no sickness. And Jesus comes to say, on earth as it is in heaven, you know? And I know all of us have studied healing before, but, you know, I'm like, Lord, I'm just praying that we hear this with different ears. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand, Lord. I know we've heard this probably hundreds of times. But Lord, I just say, open our ears to hear so we can have a deeper revelation of your health, your wholeness, your plan for us, Lord. Because I know that you want all of us to walk in perfect health. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus comes and he says it's supposed to be that we're supposed to pray on earth as it is in heaven. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now this is, you're going to see this over and over. He preaches the gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news. The good news of the kingdom. And healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Let's go to verse 40. Just a few pages over. Verse 40. I'm sorry, Mark. No, Luke. Luke chapter 4. I'm sorry. I'm getting myself mixed up here. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. So he's saying, I'm here to preach the kingdom of God. But I'm also here to demonstrate the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus was doing all the time was preaching the reality of the kingdom of God, because once he rose from the dead, the kingdom of God was going to be an option for people. They were going to be able to leave the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of light. So he's introducing, he's the king of the kingdom of God. And he comes to earth and he says, okay, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And wherever he went, he was healing multitudes of people. Multitudes of people, it said. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 17. It says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all. Now, I just want to think about this for a minute, because if we know in the Old Testament that sin was associated with sickness, right? And the Jews were under the law, right? And they understood that as well. And Jesus had, we know Jesus came to Israel, right? He came to the lost sheep of Israel. So when Jesus came the first time, he didn't come to preach to the whole world. It kind of reminds me of the Garden of Eden. He came to Israel and demonstrated himself to Israel, because he's the tree of life, right? And then once he died and rose again, then Israel was supposed to kind of take over the earth, you know, demonstrate the gospel. So it's kind of like Adam and Eve were supposed to subdue in the garden and then expand around the earth. So it's kind of the same thing there, right? So if we know in the Israel and Jews, it's sin and sickness are associated, and Jesus is healing multitudes of people, which we know, I mean, he had crowds of like 10, 15,000 people, right? Okay, so I would say that's a multitude. So if he's healing all those people, how many people are living righteously? I mean, think about it. He's in Israel and he's healing multitudes of people. Well, that means there's multitudes of people who are not living well under the law, right? Because why? The law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And I'm sure they're very sincere people, but if that's what's associated, then you've got multitudes of people in Israel who are sick and diseased and can't function, and they're clinging to Jesus to be made healthy. Now, here's the other thing, is that never once did he say to anybody, well, I'm going to read your mail, and I see what your sins are, and therefore I'm not going to heal you. He didn't require anybody to clean up their life. This is big. This is really big. We need to get this because we so many times are associating, you know, behavior and all this other stuff with health and wholeness. It's like we still live kind of under the Old Testament when it comes to healing. But Jesus himself, to people who were under the law, was healing them out of mercy and compassion. He never was saying to them, you need to clean up your act. He never once said to somebody, well, this is what you deserved. He never once said to somebody, you know, this God's teaching you something. Ever, ever, ever. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, right? She's considered unclean. She has spent everything she has on doctors and everything else. And she goes after Jesus. She shouldn't even be in public because she has this issue of blood. And she goes and she grasps his cloak or his garment, and she's instantly healed because power flows out of him. He didn't discern, well, you know, why do you have that issue of blood, and what kind of blood do you have in your history, and what kind of generational curse are you under? He didn't look at any of that. She just accessed his power. And the other thing that drives me crazy is that people look at what she did and they try to analyze. Well, let me see. She took her left foot here and put her right foot there, and then she said this and did this, and that's how she got her healing, and so that's what everybody needs to do to get their healing, right? I mean, we analyze the scripture. All we need is the revelation of Jesus that she had. She had the revelation of Jesus, and that's what accessed his power for her to receive healing. And so it's the same thing for us. That's why I believe the Lord wants Jesus to get bigger in our lives. Because when he's bigger, he healed them all. And you can't tell me that every single one of them was righteous and had a complete faith and there was no unbelief or any of that stuff. He healed them all because he was mercy, he was compassion, he was love, and he could not do anything else. That's why he healed them. And so, you know, when he sent the disciples out. Matthew chapter 9. I mean, if you think about it, he even healed Malchus. I mean, Malchus is the one who cut off, or Peter cut his ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Malchus is there on the opposite side trying to take Jesus prisoner. And I mean, he doesn't probably even know who Jesus is. And Peter cuts his ear off and Jesus just puts it back on. You can't tell me he had no sin in his life and he was righteous and he had all his ducks were in a row and he was believing, right? There was no unbelief. It was just Jesus. We have to get down to just Jesus, folks. It's just Jesus. Like, let's look at Matthew chapter 9. And verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So Jesus said, hey, we don't have enough laborers, right? So he multiplied himself. He sent out the 12 and he sent out the 70. Now, if you think about that, it's pretty amazing because they weren't born again, spirit-filled believers. Right? He's sending out disciples and they aren't spirit-filled. Like all the things that we talk about, how we're born again and we've got the power of God and we're spirit-filled and all that other stuff, and that's why we have power. They went out to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead simply on the word of his authority and power. That was enough for them to go out. So how much more us when we go out to pray for people? And do you notice that he didn't sit down with them and give them a list, a pamphlet saying, here's the 10 reasons why people can't be healed? I mean, really? He didn't sit there and say to them, well, this is, you know, if you see this situation, you need to do this. If you see this situation, you need to do this. And don't pray for these people. He said, if you see them, preach the gospel and pray for them and get them healed. That was what he commanded them to do. And just based on his word, they had tremendous success. Except when they saw the, let's see here, when they had the young boy that had the, where is that? Yeah, I'm trying to find where I have my scripture written down. Let's look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17. And we're going to start in verse 14. So this is the epileptic boy. And when they had come to, the disciples had been out and they were all excited because they had praying for people, they're seeing people healed, they're seeing people being delivered, they're seeing the dead raised. The disciples are all excited. They come back. And verse 14, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, all the science on epilepsy, and what is it? It's a demon. And it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So here we have an example in the Bible of a boy that was prayed for by the disciples, and he wasn't healed, right? So Jesus comes on the scene, and they bring the boy to Jesus, and Jesus casts the demon out, and he heals them. So we know that the disciples prayed for somebody, and they weren't healed, right? But we know that it was God's will to heal him, because otherwise Jesus wouldn't have been able to heal him. So it's possible that they prayed for him, and he wasn't healed. So it's possible to pray for somebody and them not be healed. It would still be Jesus' will, because Jesus prayed for him, and he was healed. But I'm going to step on a lot of sacred cows right now, but who did Jesus hold responsible for the boy not being healed? The disciples. And we have a lot of books that talk about, like I said, the 20 reasons why people aren't healed, and it puts the blame on the person. And I really believe that's just so that I can feel better about why I prayed for you and you didn't get healed. When Jesus never in the scripture is that there one time when someone was prayed for and wasn't healed, Jesus said he held the disciples accountable for it. And what he told them was, this unbelief that you have, the only way it comes going to go out is by prayer and fasting. And so in other words, so to me, you know, if Jesus walked in this room, I mean, he's here, but you know what I'm saying, and he prayed for every single one of us, we would all be healed, right? So to me, if I'm praying for someone and I don't see the manifestation, that says to me, I need a deeper revelation of Jesus. Because I know that he would bring health and wholeness. So I need to press into him more. I need to have a deeper understanding. I need to pray. I need to pray and fast. I need to commit to studying it more. Because I know, how people can look at the scripture and not see God's will to heal, I don't know how you can do that. I do not know how you can do that. I mean, it is all through Scripture. But he never withheld healing. He never blamed people. He never put it on generational curses. He never put it in all that other stuff. He just healed them all. He healed so many different ways. I mean, sometimes he spit in the mud and he put it in someone's eye. Sometimes he spit right into their eye. Sometimes he had them go wash. I mean, he never duplicated any way of healing, ever. So for us, like, there isn't a method. It's just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to lead us. So we as believers, why are we healed? Well, we went through Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, 24. And I know you all know this scripture, or most of you know the scripture. 1 Peter 2, 24, the classic healing scripture. This is Peter, and he's quoting Isaiah 53. In 1 Peter 2, 24, he says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And so scripture is very clear that when Jesus went to the cross, he took all sickness and disease on him. And so we should be able to walk in wholeness. You know, I sometimes drive around Raleigh, you know, and I look at all the hospitals we have here. And I think to myself, Jesus paid for every single one of these people in here, you know, for them to be healthy. And yet we don't see that. And I mean, I don't see it. I mean, this is frustrating to me. And this is why it's a challenging topic to talk about, because I know God wants us to live in so much more. And so it's frustrating. How do we get to a deeper revelation of this? How do we walk in it, you know, in a greater way? Because He wants all of us to walk in total health. Because that's what He paid for. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He comes to live inside of us. And so the missing link, what was missing in the fall, why man's disease came in, now we have His righteousness inside of us. So sickness and disease has no right to be in our body, because we are the body of Christ. That's just the truth. You know, but get it from here to here. Like, it has to become our reality. And like I said, I just think the stronghold of sickness and disease is so strong. It's coming against that, you know, and really renewing our hearts and minds and magnifying Him so that we understand that we can walk. He has paid for us to walk in total health. So examples of that, are there people who've lived that? Absolutely there are people who've lived that. You know, many of us know the story of John G. Lake. We talked about it Wednesday night, where he, at our Bible study, where he was out ministering in Africa, the bubonic plague. And he's ministering, and one of the doctors says to him, you know, thank goodness we have the immunization, right? And John G. Lake looks at him and says, "What immunization?" And the doctor says, "You're kidding me. You cannot be in this place ministering to these people with bubonic plague. You are going to die." And John G. Lake says, "Let's see about that." So they scrape the foam off of one of the victims that had died. They put it on a microscope slide. They put it under the microscope, and they look, and you can see all the germs just moving around. And John G. Lake takes his thumb, and he puts it on there, and they all instantly die. Yeah. Why? Because he knew who he was in Christ. He knew his inheritance in Christ. He understood that sickness and disease could not touch his body because of who lived inside of him. And so he wasn't washing his hands a million times and not touching the doorknobs and all the other stuff. He knew. I mean, I think to myself, it should be when I touch doorknobs, the germs die instantly. Right? I mean, that's the truth. That's who lives inside of us. That's the mentality we have to have, you know? Not the hand sanitizer mentality. But the "I am the sanitizer" mentality. So, I mean, Dan Moeller, for example, he has multiple testimonies, but one testimony I heard him give, he was up in the mountains hiking during the wintertime in Pennsylvania. He came walking down the mountainside. He slipped. His leg got caught between two rocks and broke in two places. And he's miles from home. And he gets up and he's like, "Lord, I know that my body is healthy." And he said it was painful, but he just started walking. And by the time he got to his car, his leg had totally recovered. And there was no more break in his bones. That's the reality of what we can live in. That is the truth. That these aren't made up stories. This is what Jesus has done for us, because we are to live in that fullness, that by his stripes we're healed. We have the presence of God. We carry the presence of God with us. Now, E.W. Kenyon and his church, and this is, I'm going to need to believe stronger, because in his church, no one was allowed to die if they were less than 80 years old. So if they got, he would pray for his people and he would raise them from the dead, but then if you weren't 80, you were not allowed to die in his church. Amen. See? So you can all convict me. That's my problem. But I mean, do you see the level that we can live at? But we have to get rid of this whole belief system in sickness and disease. You know, I mean, I feel bad for people. You know, I look out, and I know some of you are in the healthcare industry, and it's like, it's got to be hard because, like, you're swimming in it all day long. You know what I'm saying? And praise God for you. I mean, praise God. And someone was saying about Bill Johnson said, he says, I give them the best of Jesus, and I give them the best of medicine. Praise God for medicine. It has kept people alive long enough to be able to receive for Jesus. So I'm not saying anything's wrong with medicine, but I'm just saying that, you're swimming in that stream all day long, that mentality. And it's, I think it's hard to kind of like pull out of that, you know, when we're so immersed in that. So what does that mean for us? Well, I mean, it means for us, you know, today Step Out Sunday, but it means for us, first of all, that we can walk in total health and wholeness. That is God's will for us. Jesus didn't pay so that you could die one day of a disease. That's not what he came for, every single one of us to have total health and wholeness. I mean, we talked about how in Israel, you know, how God wanted to demonstrate that he was their provider, right? And so he said to them, you know, you're going to inherit all these things and say it was my power that got this wealth. And he's like, no, you need to know it's my blessing. When we looked at Jesus as our protector and defender, we talked about how he made the odds look like they were against us, or against the Israelites, and then they would win the battle. Why? So they could say, hey, look at the God of Israel. Right? Because the odds were against them. So people should look at us as Christians and say, man, they are the healthiest people on the planet. Right? That is one of the witnesses that our God is a good God and that he's a living God. Not come to my God, because if he really loves you, he'll give you cancer to teach you something. I mean, who wants that God? I mean, seriously. But that's what people tell you. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, so we know that we know that God is a good God. We know that he wants us completely healthy. And we as the body of Christ should be demonstrating to the world the goodness of our God, right? But then the other thing is that we now, because in Mark chapter 16, Matthew, and then Matthew, he tells us that he's now empowered us, just like he empowered the disciples to go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, that he's now given that same authority and power to each one of us, so that we are supposed to go out and not only walk in the health and wholeness that he gave us as our healer, as our health, actually he's our health, right, because he lives inside of us, but we're supposed to go out into the world now, just as the disciples did back in the days of Jesus, and we're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what we're commissioned to do. That's part of our job description. That's what he asked us to do. And this is why, because it, the same thing that Jesus used it for, because it demonstrates who our God is, the power of our God, his heart towards people, his compassion, his mercy, his love. That the same God that blew into dirt and a man came out of it, and then a woman came out of the man's side, if we really believe that, then we can also believe that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, because the God that we serve knows exactly how that body was designed, and he can redesign, fix it, take care of it in whatever way. I mean, that's why Jesus' limbs would grow out. Missing limbs would grow out. How many of us, like, when we see someone with a missing limb, we're like, da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? but we're supposed to pray for them. I'm just have faith for that yet, Jesus, right? But Jesus did that all the time. He did that all the time. And that's what we're commissioned to do as well. That's what he's called us to. You know, he's our healer. He's the healer of mankind. He's the healer of our bodies, and not just physical healing, emotional healing, you know, to bring us wholeness, to bring us back to who we were created to be. He wants to see us completely healthy, completely whole, completely provided for, so we can demonstrate to people, not look at me, but look at my God. He's the one who's faithful. He's the one who's taken care of me. And this is the same God that you're going to want to know, because he's beautiful. He's mercy. He's compassion. He's love. And it's getting rid of those mindsets. Like I said, I think we have so much law when it comes around healing. And there's so much teaching out there that just blames people for not receiving. And I just don't ever want to go there. I don't ever want to go there. Because the truth is that if we each had a full revelation of Jesus, every single one of us in this place would be walking in total health. And so it points to me and how I need to get to know Jesus better and have a deeper understanding of who he is in Christ. For my own personal self, as I walk in health, but it also is so I can pray for others. He's a good God. He's a really good God. So let's just take a minute. Lord, I just thank you. Why doesn't everybody stand, if you can, stand? Because I believe the Lord's, you know, we're not talking about healing just as an esoteric thing. I believe the Lord wants to heal people, you know? So, Lord, I just thank you so much for your presence here. And if there's anybody who's got something going on in their bodies that they would like prayer for, if you want to just raise your hand. Does anybody have anything that they would like prayer for? Okay, so other people, if you look around, let's look around and go stand to someone next to someone who needs prayer. Okay? You know, and if you're listening to this on the internet or whatever, you know, people can pray for yourself. If you've got Jesus inside of you, you can pray for yourself. So you can lay hands on your own self and pray. So just you can share with the person, you know, what they're believing for, but I'm just going to pray a general prayer and then you can minister individually. But Lord, I just thank you so much for your healing presence here, Lord. You are powerful on behalf of every single person here. And Lord, it's not based on our performance, but it's based on your goodness. It's based on what you did on the cross. You took all sin, sickness, and disease on the cross. So Lord, I just thank you so much for your presence and your willingness to heal. And I speak health and wholeness over every person here, every person who's listening to my voice. I speak, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence and your power. We love you, Lord. We love your goodness. We love your mercy. We love your compassion. Amen.